Hello, everyone, and welcome to North Coast Songwriters Spotlight. I'm your host, David White. North Coast is blessed with some amazing songwriting talent. And through this process, we're going to peel back the curtain and we're going to shine some light on the process through which these songs actually get made, from the first spark of inspiration to that final polished track. Hello, and welcome to this edition of North Coast Songwriter Spotlight. I'm your host, David White. Today, we're going to do part two of a two-part interview I did with Lake Jerudek, a.k.a. Lake Laconic. Both of these, of course, will be up on the KMUN podcast page, so I urge you to go back and, if you haven't heard it, check out part one, where we cover his musical journey, trials and tribulations, successes, collaborations, inspirations, and some of the music from his self-titled Lake Laconic album. Today we're going to focus on his second release, a 2026 release called Cut the String. Lake will be giving us the background story on the record and on some of the tunes, and he'll be playing some of the tunes for us live here. So you're in for a treat. Stay tuned, and welcome, Lake. It's good to have you here again.
Oh, thank you.
So, Lake, in part one, we covered a lot of the production process and the solo effort you made on your initial release, Lake Laconic. How about the second album? What process did you use for that, and how did it differ, and what was the experience like compared to the first one?
Yeah. The first one, because I did it mostly by myself, it was a lot of overdubbing, of course, which is, you know, layering one thing on top of the other. And it was very experimental. And I pretty much tried everything I could think of. And so for the next one, I pretty much tried to do the complete opposite. I had been playing a lot more shows live, and I really felt like I had something to offer through that outlet. And I really wanted to record stuff live. So the majority of the next album is me actually playing guitar and singing, and on a couple of tracks, actually doing it with my brother playing drums. And then kind of arranging everything around that. Mm-hmm. So not really overdoing it, but just doing things that kind of complement what's already there. But yeah, 8 tracks out of 9 were live track guitar and voice. The only one that wasn't was the first one. And Evan and I live tracked guitar and drums while he's downstairs and I was upstairs. Mm-hmm. And also, for me, it was really important to record with someone new. I wanted to collaborate with someone who had different ideas. And I found this guy, Mark Robertson, who I deeply connected with. And I originally met him just going out to see someone play at Southwester, Pat Hall, who I met for the first time out there. And now we're great friends and we're setting up a tour together. And he actually played at my album release. But through that experience, I met Mark and then kind of got to know him more and more over time. And eventually reached out to him about recording this album. And yeah, so we went out to his house a couple times a month for about the span of a year and tracked it with him. But yeah, so Evan was a little less involved in this one, and Mark and I really were the ones putting it together. And yeah, he really had a point of view that was super helpful for me because he wasn't too critical. He was more about capturing feeling and vibe, and that's what I hear in the mixes too. Mm-hmm. I think he tries to do it more from a listener's point of view, and he doesn't get too analytical. So he was a really good person for me to work with, because when I do a couple takes and something felt good and be like, okay, that sounds good, and I listen to him, be like, I don't know, he's like, no, sounds good, man, like, that's it, we don't need to do it again, you know. And that was kind of the feeling I tried to carry throughout this whole album, was like, when something feels good, just roll with it, like, just the intention behind what you're doing. you don't need to do a million things. Like just do a couple things right and do it with feeling. And there was a lot of spontaneity from that approach, you know, just kind of trying a couple things. Then when you find the right thing, that's usually the spark. And then once you figure out the right thing, it's just a couple takes. Yeah. So yeah, it was a very, very spontaneous recording process compared to what I was used to, which I loved.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So, let's get down to some music. I mean, let's focus in on Cut the String. First of all, how did that end up being the title of the album, and what's that phrase mean to you?
You know, that's one of the few songs, there's probably a couple on the album, but that one I wrote so fast. It hit me incredibly hard. I think it's probably the only song I've written standing up. But yeah, I wrote the words and the lyrics together, and it was kind of this thing where I had an inkling. I was like, I think there's something there. And I literally just stood up, grabbed my guitar, I put a piece of paper or notepad on a desk, and I just started writing, just like first thing comes to my mind, and I wrote the whole thing through. So it was a really powerful feeling. Okay. I don't know, you know, if it was directly related to this, but I know that I had just finished reading Sometimes a Great Notion. And that book really blew my mind. Mm-hmm. And I know that some of it was coming from that, you know, because the protagonist, Hank, is dealing with a lot of weight in his life. A lot of people kind of looking up at him as this big figure because of his position. And admiring him for it, but also hating him for it. So just like kind of carrying all this baggage that he doesn't want, but he happens to be in this position. Yeah. So I know that some of the ideas and some of the things that were going through my brain had something to do with that. But as far as Cut the String, the idea, I just got the vinyl for this album, and I've been listening to it, and there's a big blown up picture of this silly little collage that I did, but I have been thinking more about the title. And, you know, the picture is the world, and there's a string, and there's me looking at it, and then there's all these colors in the background are just kind of like pencil and crayon, mm-hmm. basically. But it feels like, what it feels like to me is the background is kind of static, and that's the mind. And I'm looking at my own world. I'm looking at this world that sits within my mind. And just trying to let go of everything that's ever been there. All the preconceptions, all the things that cause blockage, that get in the way, mm-hmm. get in the way of relationships with people, get in the way of creativity.
So the string is perhaps the thing that all your baggage is attached to, and you just are cutting it, letting it go.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just, and I think, you know, that in a way can be kind of a source of connection. It's just opening up your world. Like it's just so easy to kind of have this wall up and think that, oh, I need to have all these beliefs and show this person I'm a certain way in this moment. But I feel like when things really start to open up is when you can kind of let a lot of that go. And that's the feeling I get when I think about that title. Good.
We're about to enter my favorite part of this program, the part where we actually get to hear some live music from our interviewee, Lake Jerudek. Lake, I think you've got your guitar ready, and you're going to treat us to a live version of the title song, Cut the String. So take it away.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
problem to exist like this, like this. Given the chance to return to the old, to the old. He would to the world, into the sea.
Good song for the title song for your,
yeah.
for your record.
Yeah.
You're listening to North Coast Songwriters Spotlight on KMUN. I'm your host, David White. And today I'm speaking with Lake Jerudek, a.k.a. Lake Laconic. And we're talking about his latest release, Cut the String. Lake's here to give us the background stories and introduce some songs and play some of them live and comment on some of the recorded sessions. So what other tracks really stand out for you? I mean, what are you most proud of in that vein?
One that turned out extremely well was the single I released, Another Trick. That one and Dream State, I think, are the two. When I hear those, I'm just like, man, I cannot imagine doing this any better.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier when we were talking about the music that from the early 70s and late 60s that you really like. You singled out Townes Van Zandt as somebody who was really an inspiration to listen to, and you really connected with what he was doing.
Yeah.
And it is, I assume then that the Mr. Van Zandt, the song on Cut the String is dedicated to him.
Yeah.
Inspired by him.
Yeah, definitely.
What was it about his music that really you connected with?
I think, first of all, just the way he sang, the timbre of his voice. But I think also how genuine he was, mm-hmm. and how real everything he was saying was, and just how poetic it was. It just came across in such a direct way. And I really appreciated that about his music. And this particular song was a pretty incredible experience. This is one of the few other songs on the album that did come just like that. I actually read the first part of his biography the night before I wrote it. Mm. And I just had this crazy feeling. I've truly never had this before, but I felt like I was reading about a person I had known my whole life, like a friend or something. It was such a trip. And I went to sleep with that. And then I woke up the next day, and it was a similar thing to Cut the String. The chords, melody, and lyrics came all at the same time. Oh. And I just wrote it all the way through. And I usually don't talk like this, but I did feel like I was speaking through him. It felt like like he was speaking through me, but it felt like it was coming from another place other than just myself. It was a pretty incredible experience.
Yeah, well, you're not the only one who's suggested that they were channeling the music that was going through them. It wasn't from them necessarily. Yeah. It was just, they were the vessel, the instrument.
Yeah.
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 Any chance you could play that one for
us? Yeah. Yeah, maybe I'll do kind of a softer version of that one. I called him up on the telephone, but I didn't have much to say. There was something about the way he talked, it took my words away. I said, hey, Tams, can you sing another song? I wanna look upon the life I live, I wanna shed my tears today. He said, no, that won't do. If you want to be free, you gotta stand upon the broken road, you gotta fly above the clouds. I said, what about the trouble that's been chasing me so long? Said trouble doesn't matter when it's there and when it's gone. Well, it's a game that you play till the day that you die. It's only there to let you know that what you got is just right. The only thing that you can do is to choose the ride you take. But if you hurt the ones you love the most, there ain't nowhere to escape. It wasn't easy to escape the life I'd found. But a couple shots of whiskey and the needle in my vein told me listen to the music and forget about the pain. Cause
it's a sad, lonesome world. It's a high price to pay to lay down the walls and let the people know your name. I said goodbye, Mr. Van Zandt, and I thank you for your time. Can we talk like this again, man? 'Cause it's been a real delight. He said, oh, buddy, don't you know that I'm always around? You can find me where you want to. You can hear me anytime. Well, I'm on the other side now, but my body stayed.
That was beautiful. I'm sure he would love it if you were around to hear it.
I hope so.
there's one song that's quite a bit different than what most of the tunes on the record mm-hmm. are like, and it's a great indie rock song called Engine. I'd like to just play a little bit of that, and maybe you could give us the background story on this one, because it features your brother's drumming, Evan's drumming as well, mm-hmm. and it just really rocks. And mm-hmm. reminded me of Jacob Dylan and the Wallflowers in a way. That's a high energy song in contrast to some of those other stuff on this record, but I really liked it. That was pretty great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that one was pretty crazy to record. Evan and I tried tracking that together a couple times. Just did not work. We actually, that was the most heated we got through that whole recording process. Evan was downstairs and I was upstairs. And we had done a couple of takes, and I just said, come to the realization, I was like, we are not going to get this. He's like, no, just one more. I'm like, no. I'm like, we're done. So later, I went back and recorded it on my acoustic guitar that I'm holding right now with Mark. And I had some really good takes, but I heard it back and it was just like, no, it doesn't quite sound right. So pulled out the electric.
Yep.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear it now. It's like, of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got like a distorted electric sound. And then we did a couple of takes and I came in and I listened to it. And I was like, it's still not enough. I was like, can you actually make my voice distorted while I'm singing?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yeah, he's like, he got all excited. He's like, usually people don't want me to do that. But once he did that and the guitar was right, that was either like the first or second take after we got that. And then everything else we did on top of that. But there's not really that much in there. There's guitar, bass, and like a little lead guitar part, mm-hmm. but it's not too far off how we play it live.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
I encourage you, if you're listening, to go check out the full catalog, which you'll find up on Bandcamp if you do a search on Lake Laconic. Both albums are up there, both the solo albums, and I think the work you did with your brother Evan under the Innocent Alex name will be up there as well. Search for either of those. We didn't have time to get to any of that today, but check it out. Available on streaming too. The Lake Laconic album and Cut the Stringer up on Spotify and probably all the other streaming platforms as well.
Yeah.
So it's really good music. It's great to listen to. The quality of the engineering work is superb. And now Cut the Strings out on vinyl. So.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend you go to Bandcamp and you can buy the disc, you can buy it song by song by MP3. And are you going to sell the vinyl through that as well?
Yeah, it'll be through there. And I'm doing an album release at Music Millennium in Portland.
Oh, nice.
They'll be selling it. I'm going to reach out to...
I love that place.
Yeah. And I'm going to reach out to Lonely Crab to see if they want to sell it to you.
Well, thanks a lot for sharing all this with us. Like, I really appreciate it. And
thank you.
Good luck with your... with anything you do. I think your music deserves a much wider audience than it's probably getting, I'm guessing, but it's special stuff.
Thank you. That means a lot.
That's a wrap for this edition of North Coast Songwriter Spotlight. Tune in every third Thursday, 9 a.m. for the newest interview. Check out also the podcast page on KMUN.org to find some of the earlier interviews I've done with local songwriting talent. Thanks again for listening. So until next time, bye-bye.